Hello, hello. Welcome to the Today Show with James Lee and Danny Love. My name is James Lee.
And I'm Danny, and we have Petal. This is why I need to almost start. You guys, we are building our own studio. So today we have like a makeshift setup where we're doing our own camera switches. We're just going to go with it. I just said Petal because James is doing our camera switches right now.
Yeah, we have no producer. So I am doing the camera switches with my foot.
And let me just tell you, it has been a morning, but we're going to give you a show to the best of our ability, right?
We are going to get, it's going to be a good show. It's going to be a great show. We're talking about the chaos that is the NYC mayoral race.
And we're going to get into more stuff with the Charlie Kirk situation, a little bit of the WEF UK digital ID saga, and whatever else, because our brains are a little scattered because we're using a Petal and we're in a makeshift space right now. But we're gonna do a good job.
No, I'm already nailing this. I'm already getting better at this.
Okay, well, James does play the piano, so he has a little Petal practice in your life.
The damper Petal.
Yes. Okay. So the New York City mayoral race, we talked about this when we were like doing a trailer to see if you and I wanted to do a podcast, right?
Yeah.
And we bet each other. I said, there's no way Mamdani's going to win. And we bet for dinner.
I bet big. It was, I think Mamdani, I thought he was going to win at the time. That was a little bit less certain. Now it's like 92% or something like that.
Yes, they had the debates last night. I watched a tiny bit of it with like the knockoff Al Roker. I just think, you know, I just keep thinking of California because really to me, it doesn't matter, right? I don't live in New York. That sounds like messed up to say, but it just seems like, wow, these are the options you guys have.
People are freaking out. I really don't understand. I don't live in New York, but people are freaking out. For example, Bill Ackman is losing his shit right now. People like him as well. They're saying that this is going to be the complete demise of New York City. It's going to be the collapse of Wall Street, all this stuff, talking about the buses, the free buses, or the rent control, or the grocery stores. Everybody's having a fit. They're saying they're going to move to Florida, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But
I don't really think that it's that big a deal. I don't know.
And why don't you?
Because I honestly think maybe this is me being pretty black-pilled, but I don't think change really happens. I don't think he actually has that much power. I don't think he's going to be able to really – I mean, what? Getting a couple free buses is going to lead to the collapse of Wall Street?
I think it's just funny that you have – a wannabe rapper and a sexual assault, you know, rapist or whatever, as your two options. And then the other guy, what's his name? Sliwa?
Curtis Sliwa.
He's like the Sons of Anarchy, but good guy, right? You were telling me about him. Tell
Guardian Angels, yeah. He has such a fascinating story. I looked some stuff up about him, which is absolutely fascinating. Okay, so he lives apparently in a 320 square foot studio apartment with numerous rescue cats. They say it's could be 16 or 17 cats. He lives there with his wife, which is, I mean, that's very interesting already. And then he has this whole animal welfare program that he started. And then he also founded the Guardian Angels, which is like kind of a vigilante justice group. And he started when he was, I guess, a fry cook or something at McDonald's. And then he was also targeted by the John Gotti and the Gambino crime family in New York. And they put out a hit on him and he was shot five times, apparently.
So his group, the Guardian Angels, is like civilian vigilantes, right? Like he's kind of like Batman, except he has 10 cats, so you could call him Catman.
Yeah. And people are calling on him to drop out of the race. Because of the huge freakout. They're saying that head-to-head, you need to go head-to-head in order to take out Mamdani. And I want to play this clip. So he's responding to those people asking him that he needs to drop out. That is, what is this? This is C6 here. Let's play that.
However, I think it is clear to New Yorkers who are against Mamdani that you and Cuomo are splitting the anti-Mamdani vote. So my question is simple. Are you okay if Mamdani wins that you, so to speak, contributed to that?
Well, number one, Ackman is a jerk. Has he been right yet? Here's a guy who goes up to Newport, Rhode Island, and thinks he's a professional tennis player. Come on, Ackman, stay in your lane. Does he know anything about politics? No. Does he live in New York City? No. He lives in Chappaqua, the whitest suburb of America, where even the lawn jockeys are white. He may know Wall Street. He may know hedge funds. He has been wrong every step of the way with the billionaires. So let's say people come to the conclusion, if somehow I lose, and we know Andrew Cuomo's lost, he's already tossed in the towel. Oh, it's because of you, Curtis. Because of, really? It's because of the Democrats. What is it? Who created Zohran Mamdani? Who embraced him? Who nourished him? Who supported him? And how dare you, people who know nothing about politics, suggest that everybody who's going to vote for me is suddenly going to be reborn. We love Andrew Cuomo. He killed all these elderly. He's a sexual harasser. He told conservatives and Republicans in 2014, if you're conservative and you believe in right to life, and the Second Amendment, you have no place in New York. You need to leave. This is the result of the Democrats' self-destruction. So I'm supposed to help them? How come they don't help themselves? Andrew Cuomo failed everybody in that primary. He even admitted it. Now he's basically saying, I can't win without Sliwa votes. Where are your votes? Why don't you spend your money and he's got millions from the billionaires. Millions. Go out, get your own votes. Convert Sliwa voters. But for me to drop out, I represent a major party line. I have people running under me, council people, judges. They put their heart and soul into it. They support me. I have more donations than Andrew Cuomo does matching funds. So you know something? This is called voting. Sorry. Since when do we not let people vote? Billionaires determine the next mayor? If they don't like it, they can leave. They have options. Blue-collar working class people don't. Those are the people I'm representing, not Andrew Cuomo. Sure.
Damn. Okay. What do you think about it? How do you not like this guy? I don't know.
I love him. I know so little about him, but from what I have seen, I do love him. I agree with so many things that he said. The Democrats did create Mamdani, 100%. I said back in June or July when we talked about this that I felt that he was central casting. I said that on our interview with Butch Ware, and Butch Ware agreed with me and said he totally agreed with that. Also, Cuomo's handling of COVID-19, no one in their right mind should be voting for Cuomo. So I understand people that don't want to vote for Cuomo, 100%. He had horrible leadership during that time. He put COVID-19 positive elderly people in nursing homes, infecting everybody. And, you know, there are signs of people that said Cuomo killed my grandma. So, look, you know, do I think Mamdani is qualified? I don't really know much about him, to be honest. And last night during the race, Cuomo said, you know, what are your qualifications? I'll play this for you. And that would be really my question. What are Mamdani's qualifications?
Well, okay, so before you play that, I'm going to just spout off on Mamdani for a second. Because yeah. I think I don't like Mamdani for different reasons than you.
Okay.
Because I don't mind some of the Mamdani policies. I don't really care about, I mean, I think rent freeze, we have rent freezes in almost every single type of city. Like San Francisco has rent control, San Diego, parts of San Diego have rent control, Los Angeles, New York City. I don't think that's going to cause any kind of structural economic collapse. I also don't mind subsidies for buses for people who need them.
I don't
them
either.
To get,
I don't care about that. Why do I care about that?
And
care.
Then what's this other big thing? The grocery stores. I don't mind him trying to do something innovative and new for the government.
That, there's, it's, we're not, get more, it's not innovative or
we're
going
to get into more of that in a second. So I don't like Mamdani because I don't trust Mamdani. I don't think he is exactly who he presents himself to be. I think he's one of those people who are going to get in there and then they're going to shift. It's kind of like AOC in the way that, like, AOC is not who she was in 2018.
You don't trust Mamdani? That's because this is who's going to be the next mayor of New York City. For you. This is his rap music video. Okay. It's just...
Wait, how long ago was that?
Let's find out. I don't know. I don't feel like that long ago, a few years ago.
Because that's my main issue with Mamdani is I don't really know. I don't feel like I really know who he is. He's so well-spoken. He says pretty much all of the right things. He has great comebacks. Like, he had a great roast of Cuomo in the last debate where they're trying to get Cuomo to pick a team, right? It's like, well, would you if it was two game sevens in the NBA Finals and the Mets or and the World Series, would you go to the Mets game or would you go to the Knicks game? And Cuomo's like, I'll just go to both. And he's like, this is why nobody likes you. Just fucking pick a team here and let's go.
Yeah, but I was watching the debate last night and there were certain topics where Mamdani wouldn't take a position either.
Interesting, interesting.
He would not take a position. So well, I was watching it and, you know, Mamdani has that political scripted feel where you're like, he's saying all the right things. And I think that's why you probably don't trust him, because we've gone through this so many times, right? I would love somebody younger in office. I think Cuomo sucks. I'm not a fan of Cuomo. I think Sliwa's great from what I know, but he's not going to win. So look, you know.
But if you put him head to head against Zohran, maybe he could win if Cuomo wasn't in the...
Maybe. The rap video was released in 2019.
Okay, so, you know, 6 years ago, 7 years
ago. Not that long ago. Okay, so here
is... Well, I was a consultant in 2019, so I was on, you know, working for the devil.
Yes, and I just want our fans to know I was always anti. Okay, let me play you this clip from last night's debate.
And I understand my friend doesn't really understand government. The governor doesn't build housing in New York City.
Not if it's you.
No, legally, there are jurisdictions. The governor doesn't pick up trash. He doesn't run the fire department. That's what the mayor does. The mayor builds housing. The state allocates funding for localities. And I allocated more funding for housing than any governor in the history of the state of New York. All right? I did things. You have never had a job. You've never accomplished anything. There's no reason to believe you have any merit or qualification for 8.5 million lives. You don't know how to run a government. You don't know how to handle an emergency. And you've literally never proposed a bill on anything that you're not talking about in your campaign. You had the worst attendance record in the assembly. And you gave yourselves the highest raise in the United States of America. You went from $110,000 to $140,000, and then you never showed up for work and you missed 80% of the votes. Shame on you. Shame on you.
Okay, that might be, I would have to say, just as an unbiased person, maybe Cuomo's strongest moment that I've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, so anyways, you know, it's like you have these two, in my opinion, not great choices. I know a lot of progressives love Mamdani. And I think that the youth love Mamdani so much because it's like, yeah, they are set up in this failed system. They don't have the American dream at their fingertips, right? They need help. So when you hear government grocery stores, you hear free bus rides, which I don't have a problem with. I think that all that stuff is great in theory. It's just never worked. And I know you have the Kansas City, you know, a rebuttal, but in general in the world, government grocery stores don't work because grocery stores have a very, very small profit margin. And so the competition goes away, right? Because the governments are trying to discount everything. And look, why would we even want the government to run shit?
Well,
why would we want the government to be in charge of
our government
food?
Grocery stores are for food deserts. That's what he's talking about. First of all, he's not building like a bajillion. He's building, I think, four, if he can even get it done.
Yes.
And he's saying that we want people to eat fresh foods instead
of having... I love the idea.
Instead of having convenience stores where you're going in getting prepackaged processed food, he wants to open grocery stores so you can buy fresh produce and have, you know, meat and all these things, protein in its original form. He's saying that people should have access to real food. which I think you should, you would probably agree with.
I 100% agree with that. And I wish that there was a strong track record of this working out. But overwhelmingly, government grocery stores, whether it's in the United States or other countries, don't work out. And, you know, there's a lot of different reasons for that. So in theory, I like what he's proposing. But just like you said, I don't believe he's going to be able to get in there and implement it. And to Cuomo's point that he just said, he doesn't really have the track record. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not going to get in and do a great job. I guess we'll just have to see. But, you know,
so do you think if you lived in New York right now, would you be one of those people that are like, let's wait and see what happens? Or would you be Bill Ackman and saying, I'm going to move to Florida?
I would never live in New York. Okay. I would never live in New York. It's not even an option.
This is a make-believe. This is a hypothetical situation. I'm just saying.
I love fantasies. I daydream all the time. I am somebody that loves these types of, you know, hypotheticals. After COVID, I've never even been back to New York.
No?
No. I won't even go back.
Okay. So
because of the COVID vaccine cards to get into the restaurants, the lockdowns, the way they handled everything. No, 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 no. No. It's not for me.
Okay, so would you, if you did live there, would you move from New York? Based on what Mamdani's policies are, would you have the same reaction as some of these Wall Street people who are saying this is going to be the end of New York City?
I think everything ebbs and flows. I think that there's a reason that there's term limits. And if Mamdani gets in, which it's looking like he will, so it's looking like I'm going to have to owe you a dinner, and I hope you're going to play a cut of our bet at some point. Then if he does a great job and it improves the lives of the youth and, you know, lower income individuals in New York, I think that's great. And then maybe we can, you know, replicate this in other places. If it ends up making crime rates go up even higher in New York because he wants to reallocate funds away from the police and do different things like this, or he opens up, you know, government grocery stores and food deserts and then they're raided by criminals, and people just don't end up getting food anyways, and it's a huge failure, then I think that the Republicans are going to use this as an example to further propel their party in the midterms and, you know, for the next presidential race. So,
well, I think that is a good point. That's like probably the biggest thing that you have to do really well when you're running a city as a mayor is to make sure the crime is under control.
Yeah.
High crime cities, people typically don't enjoy living in.
No.
And so his thing with the police, if you were to take it at good faith, he's actually saying we do have a crime issue, but I think the crime issue can be addressed in a different way that is not strictly through, you know, police enforcement from the traditional NYPD. We should have other types of specialists in to like solve the problem of like random homeless people in the subway. We should go in and we should help rehabilitate these people through various other programs and get them off of those areas or out of those areas.
Portland did that.
I don't know. I don't know what happened. What happened in Portland? It's totally
crime.
Fucked.
Yeah, it's totally fucked. And actually, there's a hilarious video of Europeans wanted to come to the United States and do like a film documentary. And they started in Portland and they say this was a huge mistake in their accents. The crime and the homelessness, it's a very dangerous place to be in Portland. We should not have come here. I'll have to find it. But look, we'll see what happens. I like his energy. I like Mamdani's energy. I like the idea. I like the ideas. Whether or not he can implement it is going to be another story. So,
well, let's talk about really quickly, because I think this, once again, he was asked, this is like from a couple of days ago, once again, about, you know, Israel.
Into one that's affordable for each and every New Yorker.
But, okay, I want to get to that, absolutely. But do you believe that Hamas should lay down their weapons and leave the leadership in Gaza?
I believe that any future here in New York City is one that we have to make sure that's affordable for all. And as it pertains to Israel and Palestine, that we have to ensure that there is peace. And that is the future that we have to fight for.
But you won't say that Hamas should lay down their arms and give up leadership in Gaza.
I don't really have opinions about the future of Hamas and Israel beyond the question of justice and safety and the fact that anything has to abide by international law. And that applies to Hamas, that applies to the Israeli military, applies to anyone you could ask me about.
Okay. One last thought on that. You have said that you would arrest Netanyahu if he came to the United States. You've been very outspoken.
Okay, so he keeps talking about New York City affordability, the stuff that people in New York care about, and she keeps asking about Hamas, which I think is very bizarre.
Well, I think what's going on in the Middle East is a hot button conversation topic for anybody that's in politics in the United States right now.
But they don't ask Andrew Cuomo those same questions.
Well, because they know where Andrew Cuomo stands, right? So they're trying to have a gotcha moment with Mamdani.
But this is his strongest asset.
Well, I know, but mainstream media is disattached from the realities of the world that we live in, and that's been proven time and time again, right? So it doesn't shock me. I think that his answer is correct. He shouldn't be worried. That is not a concern of the mayor of New York City. So I think that was a great answer. I think that was a perfect answer.
That's what I'm saying. I think just speaking from like a strategic political perspective, from I know these mainstream media people don't like him. I know the political elites don't like him. I know the Wall Street elites don't like him. But they seem
to. They don't like Mamdani?
Yeah. The Wall Street elites.
Well, maybe the Wall Street elites, but there's a lot of Democrat elites.
No, Democrat elites don't like him either. He's having trouble getting – he can't even get endorsements from the Speaker of the House, Hakeem Jeffries, whose district is in New York City. Chuck Schumer doesn't want to endorse him, the leader of the Democratic Party. So he is actually not in favor with the Democrats. And that's why they're allowing Andrew Cuomo to run as an independent, because they're basically usurping the results of their primary and saying, yes, Cuomo, we need you to run as an independent to get rid of Mamdani. And so they're actually playing a huge risk here, because imagine the next presidential election campaign. Let's say there is like an insurgent candidate that the establishment doesn't want and they lose the primary. But then all the voters say, no, screw you. Last time around, you didn't respect our primary. We're not going to respect this primary. And now they've all of a sudden splintered off the Democratic Party. I think that's a big risk for the party.
Yeah,
And that's because they don't like him. So what I guess the point that I'm saying is that I think Mamdani, they don't know where to hit Mamdani. They seem to have a lack of understanding of where the public is at and where his actual weaknesses are. And it's not on the Israel issue.
Right. No, it's not. It's what Cuomo brought up in that last clip, and it's the experience that he has. But, yeah, you know, we'll just have to see. I mean, look, he has raised $8 million.
Who's he?
Mamdani. He is getting support. He's getting the public matching funds, which is why people are saying that Sliwa is not dropping out. Because he's making money with his donations,
but
with
you
the
can't
public
use
matching
you
funds.
Can't use the public matching funds for your own personal spending. You have to use it for the campaign. Are they saying that he's literally laundering money for his?
I guess I have no idea. This right? is Bill Ackman saying this.
Oh well,
so.
Fuck Bill Ackman.
So I don't know.
Bill Ackman is the guy in the beginning of COVID who lied about how bad COVID was going to be. He shorted the stocks a few days before. And then the stock market collapsed because he got some early warning that says, oh, we're going to shut down whatever, the economy for a couple of weeks. And then he shorted all the stocks right before the big coronavirus drop.
He also was, you know, having conversations with Charlie Kirk about his donors right before. So, yeah, I don't think there's a lot there. But it's going to be interesting if I end up losing this bet and – buy you dinner. Where am I going to take you? Have you been thinking about this?
You know, I'm a cheap date, so it doesn't – I haven't really thought about it. And I also – this is funny because I went ahead and placed a little bit of a hedge the other night just in case, because I do think there might be – I mean, we're still, what, a couple weeks away from the election?
I think one.
It's in November.
Oh, yeah, two. 10 yeah. days or something like that.
So I think there's a possibility that they could pressure or – I guess what's the right word? Coerce? I don't know. in a legal way, Sliwa to drop out. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he drops out of the race if the pressure gets too great. I don't know. Maybe they threaten his life. I don't know what kind of stuff.
And then if that happens, the hot girls for Cuomo movement might be just enough to push him over the edge.
The hot girls
right?
for Cuomo. Can we play that real quick?
Yes.
Because that is freaking hilarious.
So today I'm officially starting Hot Girls for Cuomo. So if you are a hot girl for Andrew Cuomo, I want to hear from you.
I mean, it's crazy.
Are you a hot girl for Cuomo?
I am not either of those things, so no.
Well, you know what's funny about this? Apparently they didn't buy hotgirlsforcuomo.com.
I saw this.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Where now just links to his sexual assault lawsuit.
So bad. So bad. What else is so bad is that when we talk about the Charlie Kirk Tyler Robinson case, the judge now has put out a gag order. This is unprecedented in Utah. Over 3,000 witnesses and associates of the case, attorneys, family members, and even the press are subject to the order, threatened with potential contempt of court charges and jail time for speaking out. And Candace Owens has, I think famously, you can say, said that she's not going to abide.
Well, she's not a witness, so she wouldn't be under this gag order.
But it says press.
It does it actually?
It says press. So I don't know.
So because from what I saw, and I did a little bit of research on this just to see, okay, is this insane? I mean, like 3,000 people gag order is kind of insane. And I saw a clip of the judge, and he was saying that, no, that these have to be identified people that are going to be witnesses in the prosecution or the defense, and then they would apply the gag order as these witnesses are identified. So if Candace Owens is not an identified witness, then she would not be under any kind of gag order. So I think she was, I mean, Candace does what Candace does, which is like throw herself in the spotlight. And so she's like, I'm not going to abide by this, but I don't think she would have been under the gag order anyway.
Right.
But it is kind of, okay, so, but just throwing Candace aside though, it is kind of crazy if they could just start adding people to the witness list, quote unquote, and say you can't speak anymore.
Right. So that being said, there are videos that were released right after the Charlie Kirk assassination that are probably going to be scrubbed from the internet pretty soon. This is one of the girls, the UV girls on campus, very young college student. And you might not think much of this, but I'm going to get into why I think this is interesting, and I'm going to play it for you now. So listen to this.
Basically, I heard a loud bang, which I figured a shot would be a little bit louder, but I just saw it hit him in the chest, and then all of a sudden just tons of blood gushing right out where his heart is, and then he like fell over and slumped down, and everybody got down and was screaming, and then we all ran.
Can you describe just, did he appear to be moving afterward, or
not,
what?
Not at all. I personally believe he was dead on impact.
Oh my goodness.
So why is that interesting, right?
Yeah, why is that interesting? Tell me.
Well, it's interesting because when it comes to the rifle bullet conversation, right, we're being told that Tyler Robinson used this old rifle on the roof, shot Charlie Kirk. We do not have a matching bullet yet, at least from the public. There is an autopsy report or somebody that came out and said, the doctor came out and said, you know, the bullet was stopped by his spine. And basically, when you talk to hunters, the bullets, you know, this freaking, it's like a missile. So the idea that his, you know, neck of steel stopped the bullet is very strange. So there's a lot of questions of, did the shot come from the roof? Did the shot come from a rifle? So what's interesting is I did a little research, and a rifle is a lot louder than a pistol.
Correct.
So this little tiny clip, and there are so many of them, right, could also be reasonable doubt that it was this rifle. I mean, of course, if they're going to show the bullet smashed into spine, who knows, and they're going to be able to present this in court. But there's a lot of people coming out doing their own investigations saying that there's no way that this bullet stopped in his neck. And then when you look at the actual sound that would have been caused from a rifle, it would be, I think it would break the sound barrier. So it would be such an intense sound. And she's saying that it was like a loud bang, but she thought that a gun would be louder. So that's also an interesting little tiny piece of information. And I think that as they start erasing these clips, right, because of this gag order, you might be able to find more and more little pieces like that, little clues that maybe what they're telling us is just not the case.
Well, I'm obviously one of those people that think the official story is complete bullshit.
Same.
That, I'm not sure. So she also said he got shot in the chest, which was not the case. So I don't know if she's the most reliable eyewitness.
Yeah.
But I think I've heard a lot of different eyewitnesses. I've heard people say, I heard two shots, or I heard a muffled sound and then a more clear. So like, because people are throwing out, hey, you could have fired a blank from the rooftop, a rifle, but then you could have had a smaller, you know, lower caliber
with a silencer
gun from closer. And based on what I heard, they're saying it could have come from this like planter box area, and ironically, disturbingly, those planter boxes have now been rearranged and moved around in the campus. So now you can't even really go back and match. And the theory that I heard in terms of the bullet being stopped, it definitely did not get stopped. Unless it was a different gun, right? That is possible.
And that's my point with the sound.
If it was a different gun, then it could have been stopped. And also, I've also heard that the reason why they're redoing the crime scene really quickly is just in case the bullet did exit, they don't want anybody finding the bullet.
And why?
Well, because it may not be the bullet that they said it was. It
right. and to all the gun experts and hunters out there, I know nothing about guns, okay? I know nothing. I've shot like an airsoft gun in my life. That's about it. So I just do find it interesting when you're talking about the sound, though. That's something that hasn't really been brought up. And who knows if there's more students, a part of these 3,000 witnesses, that are like, yeah, it was not a loud sound. And if they could get in some, you know, gun experts that, you know, I don't know, watching the video back, listening to the sound, that could prove that this audio would not come from this rifle unless the rifle had like some sort of a muzzle or, you know, I don't know what the technical term is. But I just think that it is odd that they've put a gag order. You have Kash Patel saying, we're not looking at anything. Like, we have our story's set, it's done. And now there's also footage or new information coming out that Charlie Kirk was abandoned by his chief of staff. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I actually have seen that video, and it is very bizarre. I think we should dig into that in the next episode way more, like who the hell this guy is, because I think you're going to play the video in a second. Basically, right after the shot, he starts to just walk away. Right?
His chief of staff
just calmly walks away from the scene of the crime. He doesn't try to see if Charlie's okay. He just calmly wanders off. Let's play that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's you know, it's just another odd thing.
So that's what I'm asking is what – I mean, obviously, if you see a footage like that, he's just
– like, okay, let's
just normal,
say –
that's not even normal behavior. So that would mean that – did he know about this? Is that what the implication of that footage is?
Well, I would probably run.
You would probably run.
And so would you.
I don't think running is the weird part. I think it's him
– it's the loop.
It's the loop, and he walks away – sort of calmly, not in a running mode.
So would you be like, oh my God, I need to get out of here instinctually, and then be like, holy shit, like I got to go back and make sure he's okay? I don't know, but it is
strange. I would run, duck for cover, because you don't know if it's one shot, multiple shots, 20 shots. So you duck maybe around the corner, right, of the building. You go in that alleyway area away from maybe the vantage point of where a sniper could get you. And then you you kind of just chill there. You don't walk. Walking away from the campus, which is insane.
No, I totally agree with you. I'm just kind of trying to, like, you know, throw in little devil's advocate here just in case, you know, we're missing something. But yeah, I think that's super weird. Another thing that has been very strange is now there is footage, more clear footage of Tyler walking on the street, you know, when he's in the maroon shirt and the shorts. And then later when he's on campus where he did the shirt change, and now the backpacks are different colors. So he has you can see clearly royal blue, navy blue backpack. And then it's very clearly a black backpack because his shirt is black. So now we can add backpack change to the list of ensemble changes that he's done. This is like the bride at a wedding that has four dresses.
Yeah, this is where you stop asking questions, Danny. There's too many questions. We can't account for all of these things, okay? We can't account for all of the costume changes, the backpack changes, the screwdriver situation, double screwdriver, right? Because that did we talk about that last time on last week where they found a screwdriver, right? Supposedly on the rooftop to explain the taking apart of the gun.
Yeah, and I said they also don't use a screwdriver to take that part away.
Regardless. There is tools, whatever. They found some tool up there. That means he had to have another set of tools to put the gun back together.
Yeah, I know, which is crazy. And then there is this guy, Skylar Baird. Did you already do this on the Google searches? Do you know who I'm talking about? Okay, so I came across this. I actually need to do a story on this. But this guy, Skylar Baird, was searched from Israel and D.C. prior to the assassination. Another Google search. Peaks up. You can see it in the Google searches.
But who is Skylar?
That's a great question. That's what everybody wants to know. He was super close to the shooting, right next to the security guard, right next to the person asking the question. And he shows up also having... He gets a press pass at the Charlie Kirk funeral, which everybody thinks is weird. He says he's a content creator like us, but all of his social media pages only have 7 posts, and 5 of them are post the Charlie Kirk assassination. So I need to do more of a deep dive into this guy, but weird that that Israel and DC are searching for him prior to the assassination, just like the searches that you did.
Yeah, we talked about this last week, which is still one of the most bizarre things that people have found, right? Because we said, hey, let's give the conspirators, let's say there are alleged conspirators, let's give them some credit in that they're professionals. They probably wouldn't necessarily leave a lot of traces behind of what they're trying to do, right? But this is maybe one thing that they didn't think about, which is traffic, search traffic, preparing for this kind of thing. They didn't think maybe people would search for this or they wouldn't utilize this Google Trend search. And now they're going back. One of the sketchiest things that I'm finding is that maybe it's nothing, but now they're scrubbing it where if I search that term, they said
they did the same thing with him.
There's not enough matches or something. It's like, how could there not be enough matches when at one point there were enough matches? That seems like somebody going in the back end and trying to. I'm not trying to get into full conspiracy mode, but.
Skylar Baird before, after, and now, same exact thing. Not enough searches. Which there would be more searches now because this is going around the internet and people are like, who is this guy? Why was he front row? Then he just says, oh, I'm just a regular person. And he arrives late to the arena for the Charlie Kirk funeral. All of the execs are there, but then he literally gets front row.
Exactly. Okay, so exactly. There should be way more searches now. There shouldn't be, oh, there's not enough matches. If anything, if the data was accurate, we would see a spike more recent, right? We'd see a spike like right now or the day before. They have those trends that go up the day of.
Especially now, because this is now like circulating around. And, you know, we know George Zinn is a weird guy. We uncovered that hidden podcast episode. And now you have Candace Owens coming out last night saying that she believes that the government was behind it. She's not saying Israel. And I guess I can just play this clip. It's a minute 28. So let's play this first, then we can discuss it. Let's just do that.
Just really needed to just take a breather and really process everything that happened with Charlie and what it kind of means in terms of where we are. And I think it is a circumstance where we just know that he was truly betrayed in one of the most egregious ways that I think I've ever seen. It has made me lose faith in politics. It has made me fully lose faith in Trump. And my heart aches for the fact that he gave so much of his life to Trump and to politics. And they just were like, nope, that is it. It serves us or it doesn't serve us, and we want to move on. And so here's a holiday. Bro, if they try to give me a holiday, what is with them giving people a holiday after they kill them? Why is that a thing? You know what I mean? Like, oh, Martin Luther King, what about this holiday? What about this boulevard? Anyways, let me knock it off. Like, they're going to give Charlie Kirk a boulevard. They already did. They did in Israel. They gave him freaking boulevard. It's like, as soon as they give you a boulevard and a holiday, they definitely killed you. Okay, there's no question. They killed you. There's no way. That's like their signature thing. It's like, that's what they do. It's the Fed signature. It's when they sign off after they murder you. They're like, holiday and a boulevard. And it's never on the nice side of town either. Like, Charlie Kirk Boulevard is not going to be a nice side of town. Anyways, I will be back on the 27th, you guys. Thank you guys for all the support throughout these couple of weeks, these last really kind of 6 weeks since Charlie died. And we will see you guys then.
Okay, she's not wrong about the Boulevard thing, okay? So JFK, yes. MLK, Malcolm X, they all have boulevards, and they're typically not on the nice side of town. And that's what they – so it's like, oh, we've killed you. We're going to make it up to you. Now you have a boulevard.
Yeah, well,
and we're not okay. Alleged, whatever.
Yes, alleged. And everybody's saying she's gone too far down the rabbit hole. She's lost it. She's crazy. But when you look at George Zinn, you look at this Skylar Baird guy popping up. We have a lot of questions. Things are just not matching up. People are starting to kind of wonder if Skylar is a part of some sort of an intelligence as well, right? He was also interviewed 7 times. After the shooting. And every single time this guy is interviewed, he says the same line and he basically fake cries. He's like an actor. He's like, which, okay, just in case he's legitimately there, he has PTSD and he's crying. But I'm just telling you, like.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on this whole thing is that I wish we could move on from the story. I wish it was as easy as a lone gunman situation. But right now, as it stands, if you look at all of the evidence, there's more evidence that it wasn't Tyler Robinson than there's evidence
well,
for...
Well, he might have been involved.
No, I'm not saying he wasn't involved, yeah. But I'm saying who pulled the trigger. There's more evidence that points to some kind of conspiracy versus just lone gunman.
Yes.
And they could solve this. I know that's what Kash Patel said. Oh, we're going to save all this evidence for the trial, blah, blah, blah. And I hope maybe I could be wrong. You know, I'm open to being wrong. At the end of this,
yeah.
And if they show me that footage of Tyler Robinson getting on that roof with the rifle, and you see him pulling the trigger, boom, Kirk gets shot. Okay, then I was wrong in this whole thing. But right now, that doesn't exist, and it could exist, right? They could have revealed. We talked about this, or I talked about this multiple times, right? That footage that we have of him running, that same camera angle. Rewind it 2 minutes. We should see him coming on the roof, taking a shot, running off the roof.
Two things. I want that footage, and I want it ran through an AI software. So I don't just
right. There
want...
are people calling out like, "Hey, his shadow is doing."
Yes, weird. Yes.
And that so might be, you know, that might be just resolution problems or whatever. But
if the government puts footage or whoever into the trial, I want it done by. I want a third party AI software to verify that that's authentic and legitimate. And then the Skylar character, it's like the same thing with Erica Kirk, right? It feels icky as a person speculating on this public execution that I would take this younger looking kid, doesn't actually really look college age, maybe a little older, but you know, sometimes, you know, people join college a little bit later. Maybe they served in the army. I actually think this guy did, which is another link to possible intelligence. But it feels icky to be like, he was involved. How did he get into all of these things? But at the same token, you have to question everything. I cannot have this character that is reading a script, crying on camera, and then sneaking his way in to the Charlie Kirk funeral, front row with a press pass, seemingly popping up out of nowhere just because I feel bad that I might be doing something wrong, right? Because that would be the perfect thing, right, with questioning everything. is that you are a bad person for questioning this kid. And I might be. I don't know. But with the Erica Kirk thing, we've questioned her a lot. And I just want to give her a little credit that she did bring Tucker Carlson to a TPUSA event. And I say she did because she is now the head of TPUSA. And we know that that's what Charlie Kirk wanted. He wanted to keep bringing Tucker on. In fact, he said in those last text messages, I'm going to keep bringing Tucker on. I want to bring Candace on. And that's when you had... who's the guy? Hammer, Josh Hammer, saying, no, think second, think a couple times about Candace, and so to her credit, she is possibly going to lose more donors for TPUSA and carry on with what Charlie wanted. And I think that that actually is a positive when we're looking at Erica, But anyways, the gag order has now happened, and it's going to be interesting to see how things progress with this. I think we just have to keep digging in. We need to look at all of these things. And
well, Kash Patel is like, you don't think if I had the evidence, I would show you guys all the evidence? You think I would let any bad guys go run free?
Let me answer the question, Kash. Yes, I do. Okay. Speaking of other people that have been silenced, Virginia Giuffre.
Well, she came out with a new book posthumously. Well,
she's died.
Yeah.
She survived Jeffrey Epstein. She survived being trafficked starting at age 13 years old. She was one of the brave survivors that testified time and time again, spoke out, did the interviews. And earlier this year in March, after President Trump was elected, during the time where we still felt like we were going to be getting the Epstein list, she was hit by a bus. Okay. And she was told.
Do we have any details around that bus strike? Was it like head on by a bus? Was she freaking glanced by a bus? Do we?
She was hit head on.
This is in Australia. So are you saying that Australia is somehow also in on this situation?
Yes, Australia is very linked in to the child trafficking scene, and many Australian victims and survivors have written books like Eyes Wide Open, which was taken offline, and the anonymous group, the hacker group Anonymous, posted it for everybody to see. So if you don't already have that book downloaded in your iBooks, you should definitely get it. And there are direct links between the Australian government and the United States government and the CIA and the intelligence operation. So that's a must read. So that's not far-fetched. But anyways,
in this new book, right, she's talking about how, I think you have some details, but the stuff that I've seen is that she's talking about how she was like brutally beaten by the
former. Well, let's get
Prime
back
Minister.
To the bus.
Oh, the bus.
She's
okay,
hit
sorry.
By a bus. In March, I believe, and she videos herself on social media saying, the hospital has given me 4 weeks to live. Like, I don't know who hit me on this bus. She survives that. Miraculous survival. This woman just survives everything. And after that, she commits suicide, which, by the way, her father has come out and said, no way. But she had this book written, and she said, in case somebody kills me, I want this book released. Now, in this book, she does not give full names of who is who because she does not want to put her children and the rest of her family that she left behind in jeopardy. But
they did say that the former Israeli prime minister, or she's alleging that he brutally beat her.
And what's his name?
Ehud Barak.
Ehud Barak. Yeah. So that's one thing that she talks about in this book. Another thing that she talks about in this book is in her memoir, Nobody's Girl, that's the name of her book, she said of this photograph, and the internet found the photograph, I'm caught in the foreground clearly by accident. I'm 17 years old, and right next to me is Maxwell. Later, a fellow survivor told me this photograph was the reason she broke her silence. The photograph said something a thousand words couldn't. Everyone knew she was a child. So here is the photograph.
Wow.
Here is Naomi Campbell at a red carpet event. Here's Virginia Giuffre with her hand being held by, that is Ghislaine Maxwell.
Wow. Okay. So this whole thing is fucked. I mean, sometimes it's like now Ghislaine Maxwell is in some kind of minimum security prison. She's probably going to get some pardon soon.
I don't know, but I need to read this book. I have not read the book yet, but it's kind of amazing that this survivor is going to do her best to reveal who these bad actors are from the grave. This woman fought her whole entire life to bring light to these bad actors, and she's still doing it after she passed. And I just think that that is absolutely amazing. And as a society, we deserve to know who these people are.
Well, this goes back to your point that you make all the time, right? Team evil versus team good, and how there's a lot of team evil out there that is totally willing to just move on from this situation. And if you don't move on, you're going to be castigated in society as some kind of crazy person, or not in the cool kids club, or can't get any power, or can't, you know, work in certain industries. And it's disgusting.
Yeah, I think the good thing is, I really believe there's more good on this planet. And even if you relate it back to like every Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, whatever movie where it's good versus evil, you always think that evil is going to win, right? Like, it is a desperate ending where something insane has to happen, right? But it does every single time, and the light wins. And I think innately—
Yeah, but those are movies, though.
Yes, but so what?
What? So are you saying that there— I mean, because—
I'm saying that in this fight, good versus evil, right now, there are more good people than bad people.
There's even always more good people than bad people. The problem with that situation is the bad people have disproportionate power over the good people. Like the collective 99%.
If they keep us divided. When we are divided, yes, they have more power. And that is exactly why they divide us, right? They get us divided by politics. They get us divided by all these issues that in the end of the day don't really matter, right? You had the No Kings protest over the weekend. People should be protesting digital IDs, digital wallets, vaccine passports, and a surveillance state. Everybody, whether you're on the right or the left, could get behind that.
That's what we got to do. We just got to blow this whole thing up. We got to start fresh. Most of these guys in government shouldn't even be there anyway, so I don't care if they're gone.
No, and speaking of governments, and governments that need to be gone, the UK is in a very dire state. I'm not even kidding. It's like, it's very, very scary. It is conspiracy theories coming true left and right. I don't even know any more conspiracy theories that are true except for this, you know, the alien coming and scaring us into one world government. Right now in the UK, they have passed digital IDs, which we've talked about, right? It is now mandatory for all workers to have digital IDs. Now the UK is saying that they want individuals as young as 13 to have digital IDs to go to school. So now they, you know, they got the digital IDs passed through for workers. Now they want it younger and younger. And recently what has been popping up in grocery stores in the UK are food labels that have a carbon allowance on this. So as you can see here, carbon score, eating this uses 8.1% of your daily dietary carbon allowance. Okay. And so this is the fear. This is the conspiracy theory that there will be digital IDs. Where are you going to store that digital ID? You have to store it in a digital wallet. You're going to have only digital banking, right? You're going to have a cashless society. And why is this scary? Because it allows the government to have total control over everything that you do. You can throw a social credit score in there, right? If you're caught littering on camera through Palantir's surveillance state, now your social credit score goes down in the name of climate change. Now you're not allowed to buy beef this week. We're going to be able to ensure that because we're going to have access to everything that you do. We're going to be able to see absolutely everything. And so along with this now, people are noticing it's called NatWest Banking, which I'm assuming stands for National West. In the UK, they are now categorizing your purchases by how much carbon you have done. It's called your carbon footprint. So as you can see here, somebody screenshotted this. This individual eating out 41 kilograms of carbon. You go down shopping, transportation, groceries. And, you know, it's been brought up by the WEF. There's many articles by them that they're going to have vaccine passports. They're going to have carbon passports, basically telling you where you're allowed to travel, how much carbon you're allowed to, you know, use per year. if you drive a car, obviously you're not going to be able to go to Europe a couple times a year or once. I don't even know. And so it's very, very scary what's going on.
This is the big, I guess that's, they're just for consideration, right? They're not implementing any policies that say you're capped at a certain carbon footprint level.
Well, now
they're laying the ground. Okay, so that's very alarming, especially if you don't trust your government, right? Because I think I can throw out, here's where, because I am for maximum liberty typically, but then you also can look at some examples of countries where the citizens definitely don't have maximum liberty, but they seem to be well taken care of and there's not a lot of strife and things are going okay. I can think of Singapore as one of these examples, dictatorial government.
I mean, I've heard horrible things about Singapore.
Well, if you go against the government, yes, bad.
Well, yeah.
But it also
they'll chop your hand off.
Absolutely. But you have a very, very robust like economy. You have great public transportation. You have one of the highest home ownership rates in the entire world.
You don't have freedom of thought.
You don't have freedom of thought.
If you think something wrong, you're going to jail.
I mean, I am glad that I don't live in the UK. I got to be honest with you. Even though, you know, I think the UK has a lot of cool things going on over there. That seems insane. Are the people over there just down with this?
So, no. This is what you're not going to see on the mainstream media. Right now, there are so many individuals in the streets every day protesting against digital IDs.
We say no to digital ID. 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 Say no.
Okay, so it's the same thing over and over, and you're not going to see it because mainstream media is not going to cover it, and you're also not going to see it online because, remember, the UK now has censored social media online, and we know this from Dylan Page, one of the biggest news reporters, who has stories that are allowed on TikTok, which is insane because TikTok has notoriously harsh censorship laws, but his stories are allowed on TikTok, but they're not allowed in his community in the UK.
Yeah, no, this is not ideal, I would have to say, for, you know, freedom of expression, freedom of thought, you know, just maximum liberty. I'm glad. I mean, I've heard, okay, so one of the good things, I'm just going to maybe be optimistic here for a second, when those things were being passed in the UK, we've had a lot of pushback and outcry from not only the people, but also from elites, from people I saw like Ted Cruz or Ron DeSantis, these high level, powerful government figures saying, hey, no, this is not coming to the United States. We are not going to do this.
Well, Ted Cruz is not a elite.
He's a senator of Texas. He's a political elite.
He's a small peon in the scheme of things. But yes, you have RFK Jr., you know, coming out and saying resist digital IDs or you will be a slave. But, you know, the concerning thing here is that they're laying the groundwork in a democracy. It's very concerning. And, you know, this is where my brain goes with the information that's swimming around in here. There's a lot. But, you know, the UK gets about 60 to 70 years of full sun a year, right? We know it's like not Hawaii, right? It's not Arizona. It's not like the UK is known for their sunny weather or London. And yet year after year, the UK, and this is out in The Guardian. This is, you know, recorded by Credible, the BBC. The UK is experimenting with dimming the sun. Now, why or how would this be tied to the digital IDs and the surveillance state, right? Well, I'll tell you.
Tell me.
Because this is all going to be run on technology, right? And what can disrupt technology?
What can disrupt technology? Well, hackers, are you talking about those kind of?
There's one way, hackers.
Right.
And solar flares.
Solar flares, that's right.
So if you are trying to implement a digital slave state, let's just call it what it is, wouldn't it be in your best interest to make sure that Mother Nature doesn't fuck up your plans? Because if a solar flare comes, Mother Nature, and all of a sudden your system is offline for 12 hours, what do you think the people are going to do?
Well, if the system is offline, people are probably going to loot and do all kinds of crazy shit, right? You're talking about
anarchy. Or they will take over.
Oh, you're saying that the government is going to take over during a shutdown?
No, I'm saying that if this is fully implemented, right, and people have no freedom, basically, and all of a sudden a solar flare disrupts that system, the government has just lost control.
Okay, so you're saying that because they want all of this control and they've implemented it, the only thing that could disrupt it is a solar flare. So they're trying to prevent solar flares from happening, because if it does happen, the people will use that moment to rebel.
Yeah, and they'd be free.
Okay, interesting. Okay, this is where you go a little bit farther. I mean, some people call me a crazy conspiracy theorist.
Again, I don't know who. No true conspiracy theorists.
But yeah, I mean, that is a lot to take in there. You're saying that they're purposely manipulating the sun. I don't even
the
know
weather.
How. I don't even know how would you even dim the sun? What does that even look like?
They shoot silver iodine into the atmosphere in order to create cloud coverage.
But cloud coverage doesn't stop solar flares, though.
No, but it dims the sun.
Okay, but it doesn't prevent the solar flares, because solar flares is...
But it prevents the solar flare from being strong enough to disrupt the technology.
Okay. I don't know if enough about that to push back, but I do think that the solar flares are...
Going to happen regardless.
They're going to happen regardless, and I don't know if some clouds is able to really stop.
Well, clouds reflect sunlight.
But do they reflect solar flares? Because that's like energy. That's like
it's
that's
sunlight.
The northern lights kind of thing. That's,
yes. Solar flares also cause the northern lights.
And I love the northern lights. They're
awesome. Have you seen them?
Yeah.
Like in person?
Yeah.
Like in Alaska or where?
In Finland.
Damn. Let's just ask ChatGPT to your point. I mean, I'm pretty sure I know
let's
this.
Let's do some live fact checking here.
Could a solar flare not disrupt technology and the internet if there is significant cloud coverage?
Because they already have a lot of cloud coverage, to your point, right? There's already a lot
of
cloud.
That's why it's weird that they're trying to dim the sun.
Right? I wouldn't think that they would need any more cloud coverage, to be honest with you.
That's why it's strange. They're saying they're doing it in the name of climate change, and I don't buy that.
The chat's saying weird stuff.
It's saying that clouds block sunlight, but solar flares operate far above the weather.
See? So then you need to rework this theory here. You got to rework this theory on the solar flares.
Yes.
But no, overall, if we're to go back to the digital IDs and the WF plan, you know, own nothing, be happy. This is a globalist movement that's happening all throughout the West. Okay.
This is not
just in the UK. This is everywhere. They're trying to make this happen. And they're trying to convince us that this is somehow a good thing. And I think we should just be very, very cautious to accept those types of messages from the government saying that we will actually be better off if we didn't own anything. And if we didn't, you know, if we lived in these fantastic 15-minute city communities, you know, I hate even talking like this. I'm like, oh yeah, having everything within 15 minutes sounds awesome, right?
Until you can't leave.
That's the thing. Or they could just put you in a jail cell, and that's the end of that.
But it is a big jail cell.
Yeah, it's like a zoo. It's like a zoo.
Right.
Back to the zoo.
Right.
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to keep our eyes on this, okay? We're going to continue to report on this situation because it really directly ties into whether or not we can broadcast on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, and I'm still questioning the solar flare thing.
Look, do more research and come back next week.
I'm probably wrong, okay? But that's where my brain went. I said there's a lot swimming around in there. Either way, like you said, the digital surveillance state is real. The carbon allowances, 8.1%, the banking tracking, the vaccine passports. There's articles written about the WEF that I have up here about that, the carbon passports. All of this is real, and it is very scary. And that's why people are against a cashless society, because if everything is digital, then they can track everything.
They can turn anything on and off. You're not allowed to buy anymore for this week. Your allotment is done, right? Your quota has been filled. Sorry, no more beef this week for you. You know, and this is, to me, I always go back to money. I think following the money is just a pretty surefire way to figure out what's going on. These are monetizable policies, right? Now you can imagine people who are more wealthy and say, I want to buy some more credit, right? Now you have a way to raise more money, raise more revenue for the people in power, for the government, for private entities who are tied into these public-private partnerships, and say, okay, yeah, you want more beef this week? No problem.
Water?
Pay us. You want more of this? You want more of that?
Which is concerning.
You can pay us. And this is going to create that societal...
Have and have nots.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's really, really, really bad. This is not on our agenda. But speaking of money, did you see... Jared Kushner on Dateline talking about the rebuild, the master plan for Gaza for 2 years. Oh, no, I have to play you this clip because this is just like so up your alley. Listen to this.
You're builders. You've been in real estate. Tell us more about the plan and how much it's going to cost. Where's the money going to come from? And who's going to award the contracts?
I think it's going to cost a lot of money.
What's a lot of money?
You know, the estimates are in the $50 billion range. It might be a little bit less. It might be a little bit more. I happen to think that that's not a lot of money in that region. You have governments that are going to jump on in.
Middle East countries are going to provide the money.
You'll see European participation and so forth. The beginning of this plan is how to get it going. That's what me and Jared work on all the time. The money raising we think is the easy part, but it's the master plan, and we're working with a group of people who have been working on master plans for the last 2 years.
So there are plans already.
Yeah. We have plans already. We have a master plan already. And by the way, and Jared's been pushing this, and we're working together on it. And I think if the world saw the progress so far, they'd be pretty impressed.
Yeah, hang on a second. What do you mean they've been working on it for 2 years already? Did they meet? I mean, he kind of had a gaffe there. That's
right, because I believe when this was filmed, it was before October 7th, and it was just released, which means they were working on the plans before October 7th.
That interview was before October 7th of this year?
And it was released after. Let me ask Grok really quick. I don't want to have two situations with the solar flares now.
Even if it was filmed right after October 7th, that means they had an entire plan to redo Gaza right from the get-go that is not even tied to anything.
Nothing
politics.
Had happened to Gaza
Nothing
yet.
Nothing had happened yet. So that means that everything else was a script that they already wanted to implement the whole time.
Which goes back to what Charlie Kirk said about October 7th. Was there a stand down order?
There was absolutely a stand down order, allegedly. I don't want to say that. I mean, there was. I mean, it takes like 2 seconds to get from one place to another. Absolutely. They said, let's not do this. And also, people still don't talk about, you know, that Nova Festival, the music festival where a bunch of people died. And like a lot of those people died because of Israeli Apache helicopters just basically like just shooting down the entire place. All those cars incinerated. That's from the Israeli military.
Interesting.
It was not just Hamas. You know, Hamas didn't have that many weapons to do that kind of destruction. Yeah, they took people hostage and things like that, but they didn't have the firepower to basically incinerate hundreds of cars.
Well, the 60-minute episode aired on October 19th, but the interview was filmed around mid-October.
Okay, so it was filmed immediately after October 7th. They said they were going to do this.
Specifically, 3 days after the Israel-Hamas ceasefire deal completion, October 10th.
Wow. That is something to definitely think about going forward as the ceasefire continues to develop, Right now they're saying we're going to – I mean, the ceasefire is – we talked about this last week. It's already very, very teetering on the – I mean, Israel has basically actually violated it. They said it's because Hamas did a certain thing. It was actually immediately debunked that Hamas didn't do it. And like, oops. Even the U.S., even Trump and I think J.D. Vance or whoever was like, no, 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 guys, what are you guys doing? You know, they were pissed off supposedly as well.
Well, yeah, you can't mess with, you know, Trump's president of peace. But if something happens and then he gets the president peace time cover again, maybe he'll get a better cover this time where his hair looks better. He could be happy about that.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. So, yeah, we're going to definitely follow this story very closely. As we go, because I think that's a whole dig right there, what they're planning. What is this master plan? What do you mean master plan? That's insane.
You guys, we are building a studio today. We have a makeshift situation right now, and I just went off of the script and blew James's head with that last video.
No, that was not a part. I didn't know we were going to talk about that. Now there's a whole thing, but...
But the good thing about us building our own studio is that we will not be cut off. We can just go as long as we want. So
yeah, to answer that, there was somebody who I think commented last week that, oh, why do you guys have a cutoff time? It's because we weren't in our own studio. We were renting studio space.
Yes.
And so we had to leave at a certain time.
That is ending now. But speaking of people's comments, because we were just talking about the carbon passports, and someone said, because I said to you, oh, well, I like plant-based food. I like whole foods, and people think I'm vegan. No, no. I also eat beef and freshwater fish with no heavy metals. So I just want to make that clear. I don't want the carbon passports because I really love a good grass-fed steak or there's these meatballs that I'm obsessed with right now. So
who doesn't love a good grass-fed steak?
A lot of people that are vegan. Well,
and I don't, you know, I mean, I respect everybody's personal decision. I just think it's, unless it's like really for some kind of reason where you're not able to eat meat, I don't think it makes a lot of sense. I'm just throwing that out there. Like if you're saying it for...
You might be pissing off some of your followers.
I probably. I'm just kidding. But I respect everybody's personal choice. I'm not saying everybody...
Yeah.
Nobody needs to follow whatever I say. But I just think... I think there is some ulterior motive that the vegan propaganda threw out there to get people... to control their own behavior.
Well, the fact that Bill Gates is behind a lot of this.
Yeah, because imagine, okay, so now you have this lab-grown thing that it's like, oh, no, this is different now, and now you have to buy my meat versus meat from regular farmers that are...
My meat, it's fake.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's cultured cells that they use a technology where the cells keep replicating, which is concerning because, yeah.
Anyway, so if people want to support the build of our new studio, we definitely... could use it. You could be a part of the awesome studio that we're trying to build. So sign up for Patreon. That's the best way to support us. We want to be a fully listener-funded show. That way we can say whatever the hell we want.
Which we're going to do either way. But Kevin Howard, shout out to you, founding father. And if you are interested in becoming a founding father, Kevin Howard is going to be making an appearance on the show. That's going to be one of the perks. So I think it's November 13th. Or 14th, when we do that show, we're going to be live in the new studio, and we're going to bring him on via video to ask whatever question he wants. And so if you're teetering between the, you know, $5 subscription or the $100 subscription, you could come on live.
You can come on. And we don't want to, like, we're not trying to take people's money. But yeah, we want to give perks for people who support the show. Come on, ask us anything. AMA, AUA, whatever it's called. Ask us anything. And, yeah, definitely. The whole thing is to build an independent media ecosystem that is not beholden to the traditional gatekeepers. And that's the whole goal.
Exactly. So we're not trying to take your money, but we are. So go ahead and sign up. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, guys, thank you so much. And we'll see you next week.
Yes, we will see everybody next week.
For Halloween.
For Halloween. We have a fun episode planned. We're going to hopefully get the studio done by that point.
We are getting it done because I am wearing my costume. And it's so good, and I cannot wait. James does not know what it is.
I have no idea. But thank you guys so much for supporting the show. If you just want to watch, definitely still head on over to YouTube, subscribe, like the show, share it with people. That way we can continue to move up the algorithm. And
let us know what you think about this down below, if it's nice. I don't want any of your mean comments about me. Just kidding.